Yes.
Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio.
Yes.
Radio Free Wales.
Yes.
Hello, Shumai, and good evening to another episode of Radio Yes Cymru, the podcast, which is on your favourite podcast app and also on YouTube. Please make sure you follow us, share the love, and give us some likes if you can, so we can bump up the ratings and get more people listening to Independent Wales conversations. Look, I've got Colin Osworthy talking to me today, just down the road in Aberystwyth. It could be easier to come over to my house, Colin. We could have done it like that. But Colin's from the think tank Melin Drafod, M-E-L-I-N, Drafod, D-R-A-V-F-O-D. So it's the Welsh term for think tank. It means discussion mill, maybe. The translation would be, but it's also the name of think tank in favour an independent Wales. So Melin Drafod is pumping out ideas of what kind of Wales could be if we had independence. So, Colin, we're going to talk about the events we've got upcoming for the National Eisteddfod, which is starting in about a week's time, up by Pwllheli, Porthmadog, in the Penllyn, Efionydd area. And also there's a new publication you're going to be launching, and maybe a few other sweeteners for the first forthcoming months as well for the rest of this year. So, Colin, just introduce yourself quickly and just tell us quickly what Melin Drafod is.
Yeah, I'm Colin. I'm the secretary of Melin Drafod, as it happens. And we're basically the only think tank looking at the questions that arise from independence. We're uncompromisingly or unambiguously on the left of the political spectrum. So trying to put meat on the bones of what independence means. Trying to look a little bit more critically and examine in more detail what a manifesto or a platform would be for independence. So just trying to get under the cover of what independence means and try and answer the questions a lot of people have in more detail about, you know, how we can afford it, what kind of environmental policies and those kind of things, and what would be the benefits, which in a way, no, you know, one could argue no other movement is in a position to do, because one has to take it from an ideological perspective, and you have to put your head on the block in a way in answering some of these questions, which, you know, not everyone may agree with, but at least they're a starting point for a conversation. And so, yeah, that's our contribution. And we're trying to use our events and the publications to just give platforms for a variety of people to give their perspectives and give people food for thought, but also maybe challenge their thinking. And, you know, it's okay to upset people sometimes, Sean, I think.
Wow. Okay. Yes, and that's, I think it's fair to say you've done that a few times as well. So, I mean, we won't go into detail. So, I mean, so there's two events going. The National Eisteddfod, listeners will probably know about this, but maybe if you're just jumping in from outside Wales, a big, big cultural event. The National Eisteddfod happens every year, first week of August, which is a bit late this year. There's also an Urdd Eisteddfod, which is for young people. That's it, Whitsun period. There's also an International Eisteddfod, which is Llangollen, which finished a few weeks ago. And then many schools and villages would have their own local Eisteddfod as well. So national is a big thing. It's a big cultural thing. So if you think of music and dance and poetry and the Hawaii festival and gigs and some kind of Welsh Woodstock rolled into one, that's basically the Eisteddfod for the Welsh language community or communities. So you're launching a book on the Thursday. But I'm going to talk first. I'm going to ask you about the guest speaker you have. I'm very impressed with this. It's David Wigley, former Plaid Cymru MP and leader and assembly member, fantastic man, just done a mountain of work for Wales since the 1960s. Co-authored a economic paper on Welsh self-government back in the 1960s with Phil Williams at the time, and then became an MP. And it'd be interesting to hear his take on the independence discussion. Of course, if you were at the Yes Cymru All Under One Banner rally in Cardiff a year ago, David spoke very well as well. So what's David Wigley going to be talking about, Colin?
Yeah, so he's in conversation with Natalie Jones. Natalie's done a lot in the equalities field in Wales over the past few years. So she's going to be asking a few questions, but hopefully giving a unique historical perspective on the national movement and the national cause. There's certainly very few people best placed to give that kind of overview, because, you know, you can certainly give the second half of the 20th century a very good go in terms of the history of everything, because, you know, we've had at least three periods of serious campaigning for devolution in the second half of the 20th century. So, and he's in a good position to talk about many of those things. So one of the things we'll probably try and tease out is what are the lessons or the lessons not to learn about those campaigns, because obviously they had varying degrees of success, to say the least. And, you know, obviously the campaigning for the national movement goes back far further than that, but David is one of the few people who can speak from experience of being the heart of the national movement over many, many decades. So it will be certainly be interesting to hear what he says about that.
Yeah, and he's got the scars on his back to prove it. So, I mean, that would be an interesting conversation, because I think I think it's fair to say is also that David is from a generation, from a time where he was right, you know, to maybe not prioritize independence back in the 1970s, 1980s, until we went devolution in 97. I think that was a understandable, possibly the best tactic. I think after that, certainly after 2011, I don't think there's any reason not to be more forthright with it. But I think people, maybe from David's generation, understandably had seen defeat in 79, which was a horrible period. Didn't want to live that through, and thought, no, taking, if you like, baby steps is better than nothing, and it is better than nothing. Sometimes not being heroic is a better situation, better path to take. So I'm not against that at all. But maybe it'd be interesting to see if he sees things differently now. We were discussing maybe in the Welsh language part we recorded earlier that, you know, for 79, 97, even 1950s campaigning for the Welsh Parliament, there was quite strong cross-party cooperation, well, between Plaid Cymru and elements of the Labour Party, let's say, and some of the Liberals. With independence, that's more difficult. I can't see how that's going to happen party political. The Greens are on board with independence, but Labour Party will never be for independence. I can't see anything except a totally collapse in the British system, similar to the collapse in 1991 across Eastern Europe and 1918, after the First World War again in Eastern Europe. I can't see anything like that happening. No. And that's the only kind of thing which has crunched up the Labour Party. So it'll be interesting to see if David thinks that cooperating is a good idea in any case. If that's the strategy, or do we just ignore, you know, the party politics, certainly the Labour Party politics, and just somehow. But you still need people voting for people to vote for independence, don't you? I mean, I'm still not convinced how the Labour Party supporters again us through. You're never going to get independence with Chris Bryant as an MP, because Chris Bryant has never, ever, ever, or Joe Stevens, or Stephen Kinnock, or 85%, 90% of Labour MPs will never, ever vote for it. And if they're still in power, it's not going to happen, boys.
It's a very, very interesting question I could speak about for hours. But I think, you know, the 50s, 70s, and 90s were certainly alliances between the "quote unquote progressive parties," weren't they?
Yeah.
So the question is, in a way, and I suppose one could draw the lesson that is the natural territory. And if you go back further to Cymru Fydd, sorry, I don't know what that is in English. That is a movement.
Yeah, the Young Wales movement in the 1890s.
That was the kind of emergence from the progressive movement at the time, namely the Liberal Party, as opposed to the Tories. So that could be a lesson, but again, as we were saying earlier, is there an extent to which this is a, you know, independence is a fundamentally different question from devolution within the existing state? And that's where maybe David Wigley can offer a perspective, because I think, you know, Plaid Cymru has traditionally taken a gradualist approach, which to someone listening in Scotland is perhaps a key difference between the two countries. And this is where the comparisons that Scotland is Catalonia and Wales is the Basque Country maybe come into play here, in the sense that, to an extent. But yeah, with the gradualist approach, independence does it fit with the gradualist approach? Is it a gradualist approach, or is it, you know, a totally new kind of situation? And on the Labour Party point, I think, you know, we do have Labour for independence, like Welsh Labour for independence. And to what extent do the party labels matter? I think that's to be questioned. But, it, you know, in my view, and I don't know, interesting to hear what David Wheely says about it, is, you know, is it, regardless of party labels, some kind of broad alliance on of the progressive movements? That's how I would probably view it, but, you know, someone else might have it.
Yeah, and I can see that alliances made on group and individual basis, but I, you come down, if you believe in a constitutional democracy, then people have got a vote and for independence, and in some way elected politicians have to vote for it. And if you're, people are voting for people who are diametrically against independence, that's not going to happen. But it would be interesting to see how that movement is built. And, you know, that's part of the job Yes Cymru is trying to do. That's kind of part of the thing Melin Drafod is trying to do as well. Obviously, Plaid Cymru will do their own bat with it as a party political movement. It is interesting. You're talking about the dates there, Colin. I'm going a bit off-piste here, but I think it ties into the discussion with David and Melin Drafod in general. So there was a Parliament for Wales campaign, quite a big Parliament for Wales campaign. People forgot about it. Quarter of a million signatures collected across Wales, you know, all analogue, door-to-door. In about 1955, they had a relay race across Wales, a rally support for independence. Quite an inspiring visual campaign, mostly led by Plaid Cymru, but and if you remember, Peters Griffiths was employed, I think, by Plaid, which is Clear Griffiths' father, to work on it. But it was sort of done also with Labour, so Megan Lloyd-George and Liberals, so it wasn't seen as a Plaid Cymru friend. Nothing came of that, but 20 years later, you have another campaign, this time for devolution in 79. Things a bit more firmed up then. That was defeated in 79. And again, 20 years later, you have the successful, this time, campaign for devolution in 97. And David Wheely played an instrumental part in that, I think, working closely with Ron Davies, the Labour Party leader in Wales at the time. And then about 20 years later, we have the Brexit vote. So I'm trying to think, you know, just 20 years from when are we going to have the independence vote, if we're following that trajectory? I think it'd be interesting for David, because he did a lot of work for the Welsh Language Act in 1993. And that, again, was cross-party. It had to be working with Liston Morgan and the Labour peers. And I'm sure that kind of cooperating on a question of Welsh identity was instrumental in getting the cooperation then for 97 referendum. I also think, as we'd won the Language Act, for Welsh Language Act in 1993, that somehow took the language issue out of the debate in mid-90s, which allowed the devolution debate to be debated without the idea and the threat and the orange card of the Welsh language being played. And that, I think, that was enough to get the horse over the finishing line. I mean, is there something like, again, do you think the kind of alliances which got us over the line in 97, Colin, do you think that Melin Drafod is somehow trying to build those similar kind of alliances for independence? And what are those key issues, you think, where people are cooperating and it would maybe instigate some people to make that decision? Okay, I think an independent Wales can get this, whereas staying with Westminster won't.
Well, that's a big question. I do think that the existence of the independence movement now is proof that, you know, that cross-party working is happening at a level, maybe not to an extent that a lot of people maybe not aware of, that within the independence movement, the party was certainly within Melin Drafod that has non-party people, Greens, Labour people, Plaid Cymru people all within it. And, you know, possibly more unified than any political party, but dropping the labels for the cause, it's kind of, that in itself is kind of inspiring. I think, it's interesting to see how play out. I think one thing I often think about is how, you know, we may be at a prefigurative stage, that this is like a precursor to where we want to be. I certainly think about Melin Drafod as the kind of organization we need in independent Wales, in the sense that, you know, we're going to be responsible for a massive amount of policy stuff in Wales, citizens are going to have to more directly be involved in bigger policy questions. So we need to educate ourselves. We need to give voice to people who don't have voices now. And we also need to sort of really discuss in great detail the kind of society we want to co-create. And so this is kind of like, yeah, this could be considered a prefigurative period where we're actually, what we're doing now is what the state will end up looking like. So I think, you know, I was looking at one of the articles earlier in the book. I don't know whether we've spoken about the book.
We haven't yet. I was going to ask you about that.
Nice segue. I give you a little plug now, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
A number of the articles talk in those terms, but I think, you know, Becca Brown, one of the authors, puts it well in the sense that she's saying we're in the cradle, the creating happens, I think. That's my bad translation, but I think...
What would be, you know, your, let's maybe cut to the chase. I think your concerns are Wales becomes independent. I think there's two parts, isn't it? I think if I'm talking on your behalf, then Colin, if I understand how you think, and then I would think. There's two parts. I think, what do you think? You believe that the arguments, the people will see that independence is a vehicle for change, which Westminster is unwilling and unable to be. So that's one part of the Melyn Drafod, and I think the broad independence movement. And then the other part is that you don't want to be in a situation where we get independence and, one, there's no plan, or two, it's sort of left to having not a plan, which can be basically the most strongest elements in society, people with money, decide what that society looks like. So would that be a fair critique of what Melyn Drafod is about and what you're hoping to produce with this book? And we'll go into the book in a minute as well, the booklet rather.
I mean, independence is a once in a more than a generation, isn't it? Several generation chance reconstruct and redefine what the state is. You know, there are an enormous amounts of injustices, not just within the UK state, but within the modern state, full stop, maybe, that one can, you know, can question at that unique opportunity. What we don't want to do is to miss that opportunity. And I think if we don't have this discussion now, if we don't put out these ideas, socialist, these left-wing ideas, these alternative ideas, then we're, you know, we at risk of, I think one of the risks is that we continue with the status quo, isn't it? In the sense that we live in a hyper-capitalistic society where there are extreme inequalities in wealth, and we live in a very militaristic society. There are a lot of things now that I hope in 100 years' time, the citizens of independent Wales will look on as antiquated and bizarre that we ever tolerated these things. And so we need to use that opportunity to build that new society. I often think about something that Robin McAlpine said in the summit in January in Abertawe in Swansea, when he said that we need to convince people to take the leap, but also make them feel as though they're not going to break their legs and fall as well. I think those are the two jobs in a way. I think it's a very useful analogy in the sense that we've got to inspire people to take the jump, but we've also got to reassure them that that jump is a safe thing to do. And I think that is the two aspects of Melyn Drafod's work at the moment, are producing stuff that will inspire people or make people think, or make people think of the new possibilities that, you know, if they get engaged, definitely could happen. And then also at the same time, producing like the hard policy of what, you know, how we finance stuff, what type of currency, you know, what type of energy system we have, you know, what kind of environmental policy we have. And so those are the two things, the two aspects, I think. But I think this book in a way is kind of like on the inspirational side of things.
So Colin's now waving this book in front of us for the people who are not on the YouTube channel. It's a pink book. I thought it was lilac. It's a pink book. If you just run through, so it's been launched at Tapest 2 on the Thursday at the Eisteddfod at the Awen Meirion store. So Awen Meirion is a bookshop in Ballard, but they got stored in the Eisteddfod. People are welcome to pop over. I think it'd be fairly informal. But you've got a couple of speakers there. We'll get into that now. What I'd like to do, first of all, Carl, is just tell us the authors and briefly what they're writing about. Then we go into the launch itself.
Yeah, I'll do my best to summarize it. So, we have Joseph Gnagbo, who's a refugee from Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast, and he's writing about... He's also a campaigner with Cymdeithas y Iaith. He's writing about...
Yeah, he's now a Welsh language teacher, as in teaching people to speak Welsh.
An activist. He's writing about how he wants to see policy towards refugees and foreign policy operated differently. And then we had the Senate member, Sean Williams, and the author and writer, Becca Brown, and then the trade union activist, Kerith Griffiths. We have Naomi Hughes from Yes Cymru, Merthyr, and then the lawyer, Emma Lewis. Julie Bromnex talking about the lessons from Cuba, the poet Eric Ngali Charles, and then Liz McLean from Merthyr, who's done a lot with the SOAR Centre there. Former leader of Plaid Cymru, Adam Price, the actress Cara Saleri, the LGBT campaigner, Narina Narina Shopland, the author John Gower, and former editor of Planet, John Barney, and our chair, Talat Chowdhury, and Nia Edwards-Bay, who's a film expert. Yeah. So wide variety of different backgrounds of people writing about what their vision is for independent Wales. And good range of authors, hopefully, there to give people.
Do you think there's any sort of theme? I mean, I feel at the moment, it's sort of summer 2023, there's some kind of phony war in that. People are sort of expecting the Tories to win and lose the next UK general election, which has to happen within about 12 months' time. I don't think that the moment there's any great enthusiasm, I think, for what Labour will do with Starmer. I think people will just say it'd be good to have someone different there. And I think until they come in, I think everything is sort of on hold, isn't it? Is it a book, or do the articles try and sort of preempt what's going to happen, do you think, after that, or are they trying to think beyond that kind of timeline, or how do you think?
Some of it is like challenging the independence movement, because I think some of the articles are trying to say, some of them are saying, look at the possibilities, you know, this is the kind of society we want. There's definitely an element of that, people with their own personal perspectives, and John Gow is writing about creating a national orchard, which is a lovely idea, inspired by a kind of a Saunders Lewis writing. But I think there's a lot of it is challenging. It's about us, isn't it? It's about what we do. It's about how we. And so I think there's a lot of it saying, look, what we do now counts more than you realize. And I think some of it is trying to say, look, you know, we have to do better now in order to form the society we want. I think there's an interesting range of opinions there, but hopefully something that will at least provoke a little response and give someone some inspiration or some reason to question what they're doing.
The next few years will be interesting, because we're in a peculiar situation where there's more discussion than ever about powers for Wales, you know, much more than there was before 1997. I remember being in the Eisteddfod in Bala in August 1997, and the referendum was happening in a month's time. There was hardly no buzz about the whole thing. I think, oh Christ, this is going to be tragic. You know, I'm just trying to get people enthused. I remember going to a meeting, I think kind of Davies spoke there on the field, and you know, there were a couple of people there, well, more than a couple of people, but it was hardly thousands. There's hardly people getting excited about a thing. I remember my father, you know, campaigned for Wales. They organised a cycle route from Machynlleth, Glyndŵr's Parliament to Cardiff in the beginning of September, just to try and get some enthusiasm. Cymdeithas y Iaith had a walk-in tour, remember. But there wasn't much going on. And now you've got these big rallies. You've got Melin Drafod organised a summit in January. You've got a new booklet coming out. There's events happening with Undod in Machynlleth in September. But we're going to get less powers than ever. I've never... in 20 years now or more, the Labour Party has never promised so little so far. Maybe that some things will change in manifesto. So even though more people in the Labour Party, about half of them, want independence, according to the latest poll, what has been offered to Wales's powers is even less than was offered, certainly in the 2015 general election, 2019, when even, well, 2016. So, I mean, what's going to happen then with a lot of people who have built up an interest in Welsh politics, in Welsh independence, or certainly Welsh self-government, and nothing's been offered? I think this can be interesting what happens then in a few years' time. If that materializes or if people just forget about it, I'm not sure. But I think the debate now has moved on further than just being ready with platitudes. Certainly, maybe say the election, I think Labour can get away with it possibly, but after that, I think it's going to be difficult for them. That's my personal take.
Yeah, my view, and I think I may have said this before, that or Melon Drabble's view is there's this inevitability to Wales's independence. So the exact mechanism, the exact timing, you know, the role of Keir Starmer, I think is peripheral to what is going to happen. And at the end of the day, if someone puts out a positive agenda of inspirational things that can happen to address injustices, and something that can be so progressive that it's undeniable in its power, I think at the end of the day, people will come to that. I can't predict in what ways and exactly the what timings, but fundamentally, the emergence of a free state will be borne by the inspiration of the ideas and the belief that it is possible. And that is within our hands. It's not about an outside factor. And so I think that is kind of like an exciting thing to people to know, look, it's what you do. It's what you do now. It's about the leaflet you drop or the person you speak to or the article you write or the blog post or the Twitter, not so much Twitter, so more, but like the thread you write. That will be the power that makes it happen. It's all about us in a way. It's not about some outside force. So I think I would obsess less about the party role, the individual leader role, and more about what is the platform. And I think that's where we're coming from, Melon Drabble, is what is the platform we're putting to people, or what is the platform? And maybe some people will disagree with Melon Drabble's platform, but it will show some of the possibility, what's possible. I don't know what dropped on the floor there, Sean. But
I thought it was a rat in the house.
That's fine.
So I mean, we're in a good situation. I think Welsh culture is ahead of the debate, which is always the case really with culture, with music and stuff like that. The discussion on the ground is ahead of the people in power, certainly. I think sometime the people who have power will need to make that jump to catch up, I think, where society is. I think at the moment they're lucky that a lot of people are ready to, there's enough people who are ready just to take incremental and very small change just to get maybe the Tories out of the way. So we'll see what happens there.
If you're trying to take stock, I think it's incredible to me the majority of people under 34 support independence in Wales.
That's absolutely crazy. Well, you remember Colin back in 2015, and so when we were starting Yes Cymru, and it was literally half a dozen people meeting up with no money, and it was pretty much that. And that change has happened because people got together and made a case for change, and it's been a rocky road, as we all know. But I mean, I think that the general case has been made. So sometime the politicians will have to catch up, or we have to get rid of the politicians. I think some people need to lose their seats. So people have to stop voting for some people, because it's not going to happen with the same people, with Chris Bryant and Kinnock and Joe Stevens. No matter how nice they may be, they're never going to vote for independence, or even give us the right to have a vote for independence. I think we need to get real about that. But maybe... that is an argument. I think we need to have that argument quite soon, really. I was just going to ask another question, but I don't know how much time we have, because a few things I want to ask. I mean, you're making a case for independence from a left-wing perspective. That's obviously Melon Drabble's gig. That's what we do. That's why people are active. Does sometimes Do you think sometimes I think, well, people want change, but not the kind of change we're offering? So if you look at what's happening generally across Europe, well, it's difficult to see what's happening. So the left wing sort of won in Spain, but it's not too clear. Certainly won in the Basque and Catalonia and other parts. But then you look at what's happening maybe in Italy, where the new president there is not as right-wing as maybe people thought she would be. She's certainly not in terms of people thought she'd be a Putin's puppet. She's not doing that. But you know, basically, the left didn't win there. There's some problems. So, I mean, people want change, but it's not the change Merlin Jarva is offering.
Well, at the end of the day, these ideas put into the public sphere, and they live or die on the basis of what people get out of them or engage with them. I think it's up to people who think about these things to make the case. I think you've got to be making a case to persuade people at all. So we certainly need to make, we certainly need to make a case. I think if one looks at and I can't remember whether I said this in the English or the Welsh version, but if you look at the enormous injustices we face in society now, we need to provide answers. I think we live in a time when globalization and deindustrialization in much of the Western world is making people question the role of the state and what, you know, and that these injustices are making people turn to different ideas. And there's a competition between, as there always is a competition between the left and the right, the job of the left is to provide concrete answers to people's problems, isn't it? I mean, that then, you know, this historical battle. And so I think what we're doing as a movement is just putting the ideas out there and trying to make a case for certain solutions. And I am very confident that people will choose, if not the exact agenda, they will choose things that are similar to the choices we're making.
And I think the difference is between Wales and, let's say, Italy or France, what's happening with Macron or whatever, and as you can see it happening in Catalonia and Basque country, is that the idea of the nationalist movement means that the traditional way which the right can outmaneuver left ideas is through patriotism. Doesn't work in a Welsh or Scottish context. So because the movement is seen as something more, because the nationalist movement is as it is, it's very difficult, and it's not even possible really for the Conservatives to make a case that they're more Welsh nationalists than other people, because that's not their national identity, that's not the policy they promote. So I think the
other way of thinking about it is kind of like we're permanently reimagining what Welshness is. Yeah. And, you know, Merlin Jarva by existing is making a contribution to what Welshness is, and we can choose to define it, change and design it. I would say that, like, across the developed world, democracy is in crisis. Yeah. So, you know, we in a way are making a contribution to what is a real democracy, which is like people debating ideas in communities and publishing and discussing genuine ideas. And I would actually think that genuine free Wales looks like is where loads of people are engaged in loads of conversations about what they want from their society. And I think there's a kind of a risk in not, you know, I think that's our job, isn't it, to have those detailed discussions with people and empower citizens to take part, because I think the far right in particular benefits from kind of a disconnect or a feeling as though there's a single answer from one all-powerful state. And what we've got to try and inspire people with is the political education and their own role in engaging with democracy on a more community level. It's one way to look at it, I think.
Yeah, there's also discussed this. Unfortunately, we don't have the time. So I'd like you just to mention a couple of things. I know Merlin Jarva has got some ideas and plans for the forthcoming 6 or 12 months. So if you just want to say them quickly, then Carl. So I mean,
yeah. So we are involved in discussions with other groups about an independence tour or independent tour. I think we call it in English, and Anibandaeth in Welsh. And so that's going to be going on Summer this year. There's an event that another organisation in Dodd is organising on the 9th of September in Machynlleth, which is the start of that tour. And then, you know, other groups are getting involved in different events throughout the rest of the year. And we're looking at holding, you know, the summit in Abertawe in Swansea was very successful in January. So we're looking at the possibility of doing something similar next January as part of that.
Yeah, but that's loads going on in just 6 months' time. And then we've also got, obviously, the big Yes Cymru All Under One Banner rally up in Bangor on the 23rd of September, for Saturday. That'd be interesting and a good place as well. So I know a lot of people will be up there.
And the other thing that obviously in the background, which people don't see as much, is, you know, we've got a policy group are looking at a series of papers, looking at detailed questions, and hopefully we'll be having another, we published one in January about finance of Independence Wales, and hopefully there'll be another one coming out in September. So that's the kind of less obvious public stuff that's going on behind the scenes as well.
Yeah, so loads of good stuff happening. You're listening to me, Sean Jobbins from Radio Yes. Can we talk to Colin Noseworthy of Melin Drafod? Give them a follow on Twitter, Trendy Instagram, Facebook, and their website melindrafod.cymru. All the stuff is there, the publications and events carrying on. You've been listening, as I said, to Radio Yes Cymru on podcast or YouTube. Give us a like, share the love, share the material with your friends and family so we can bump up the discussions about independence, get more people discussing it, more people debating it, and taking the argument onto the street. Diolch yn fawr to Colin. Thanks for making the time for us. I'm sure we'll speak again about all the other good things happening with the Melin Drafod. But until that time, take care and look after yourself.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes, Cymru Radio. Yes.